And we know in the course of life, and maybe even over this Christmas season, there's unexpected things that have come your way, things that you haven't anticipated being part of your journey. But as you put your life in Jesus' hands, as you entrust your life to Him, He is the one that is going to be able to direct you moving forward. And we know right back in the very first days of Jesus' birth, and even in the season leading up to that, there was a lot of very unexpected and unpredictable things that took place. But who knows if God had a plan that He was enacting, that He was bringing to pass over those days that would follow.
Yeah, so change of plans. Who knows? We have plans. God has plans. And sometimes our plans are interrupted because God has a purpose. Can you hold this for me? I'm Italian and I need to use my hand. Thank you. Well, I want to tell you about a change of plans. Most of you know I come from an Italian family. And when our families have a girl, the minute they're born, they put plans into place. Who knows about glory boxes? Well, the plans start straight away. So my dad already had the numbers set out. We're going to have 500 come to your wedding. Mum says this is the type of dress you're going to wear. They planned it already, and I'm still in the hospital. but this is the way it is. Plans. They have great plans. But you know what? These plans changed for my family because my parents got divorced at 14. I was 14. So everything changed. But you know, God interrupts our plans because He has a purpose. And you know, I praise God that their plans changed, because if they hadn't, I would not have met Pastor G. And that would have been bad, and we wouldn't be here. So, you know, sometimes we've got to say, thank you, God. I don't like my plans change, but thank you, God. And you know what? Mary and Joseph, their plans got interrupted too. I'm sure they'd made their plans. She picked the dress. They, like we said last night, he proposes. He's on his knees proposing to Mary. And their plans were interrupted by God because He had a purpose. And that purpose, the change of plans, was for us. For us. Mary's change and Joseph's change of plans. God, Jesus had a purpose, and that is you. Isn't that amazing? We are the change of plans because that is what God purposed. So, a change of plans is not a bad thing because God has a purpose.
And one of the very cool things, when God brought us together from two very different worlds, two very different cultures, two very different backgrounds, you know, God had a plan. And He had three very special plans. The first plan that unfolded was Hannah. Yeah. And then Jared. And then Caleb. How cool is that? So good to have you with us. And, you know... but we're very blessed to have Pastor Henry with us this morning. And as we mentioned, she's in Sydney at Horizon Church. And just really kicking some very big goals there in that part of the world. We miss you so much, but maybe sometime you'll come back. And but that's going to be God's plan here. Yeah? That's going to be God's plan. But let's give a very warm welcome to Hannah as she comes to share this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So good to be here. I feel very privileged because it's Christmas Day. And Pastor Charmaine just said to me before the service, do you know we've never had a guest speaker on Christmas Day before? So I'm like, no pressure. But you know what? The truth is, when I come here, I don't feel like a guest speaker. I feel like part of the family. Because you're Spire Church. You're in my heart. I was here as a teenager, and I grew up here, and then I took on the youth ministry. And who is here from Amplify Youth from back in the day? Got Isaac over here. I saw the girls over here. I led the youth ministry here for a long time, and we had the best days, didn't we? We had the best. I was looking at photos a few days ago, just remembering the good old times.
Is it just
Isaac? We had such good times, and I am so proud to see these little ones and the sand trusses and all these little ones who were so little and a bit crazy, all like grown up and like taking over and running the church. So it's good. I'm really proud of them. But I'm really glad to be here. And, you know, it is a special day in the church calendar because we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. But, you know, we get to come together. And some people here today, this is a really exciting day for you. Christmas is, who loves Christmas? Is there any people who just, like, live for Christmas? Right, we got lots of hands up. But you know what? There are a lot of people that don't love Christmas because it's hard. And there are family situations that go on, and this makes it, Christmas like highlights that stuff, that you know what, this is a hard time of year for me, or I'm lonely, or I've got hard stuff going on in my life, and everyone's happy and smiley and I'm not. And you know, this I love that you're here in this place today, because it's the best place to be, because God wants to minister to you today, and he wants to give you hope and encouragement and inspire you. And I just really believe, I've been saying to a lot of people over this last few weeks, just people that I minister to back at my church. I oversee the kids ministry, but I oversee about 90 volunteers, and I oversee lots of about 300 kids and all their families as well. And you know, there's a lot of people that have gone who had a hard year this year, but I keep saying to them, you know what, 2020 is your year. And I just believe that, you know, this Christmas could be a time where God really just speaks into your heart, and where you can walk into 2020 feeling like a different person, feeling with a bit of hope, feeling like you've got something to keep you going and something to live for. And, you know, we're talking about Mary and Joseph because it's Christmas. But, you know, Mary's actually one of my favourite Bible characters because she's such a unique individual with a unique story. Like, who has a story like Mary? Nobody. And she was actually super young. Like, when the angel appeared to her, she was just a teenager, really young. And she had plans. Like Mom and Dad were saying, she had plans for her life. She was engaged to this guy, Joseph. She, as every girl does, is probably dreaming about one day I'll get married, I'll have babies, I'll do this, I'll do that. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears to her and everything changes. And, you know, she was given the most significant mission in the history of time. Or one of the most significant missions in the history of time. Came with a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure, but a lot of trust in God. And I think the thing that I love about Mary is I really admire that she trusted God. So when the angel came to her and said, all right, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the universe, for the creator of the universe, she wasn't like, oh, no, that's too hard, no thanks. She was like, okay. Thanks, God. Thanks for the opportunity. I'll take it on. And I'll trust you that even though this is a crazy, impossible scenario to be in, that you are going to lead me, that you're going to guide me, that you have a big picture in mind, and that you are going to take care of every detail, that you are going to do supernatural stuff that I could never do, and I'm just going to believe you. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could believe God that quickly, that easily, and just trust that it's all going to fall into place. The Savior of the universe. She was a teenager, not married yet. And all of a sudden, she was pregnant with the Savior of the world. Like, it's so crazy. And I guess, for me, I do not have the same story as Mary. Clearly, I'm not pregnant with the Savior of the universe. But, you know, there's a lot of her story that I really identify with. And like Mum and Dad, I guess, growing up, I was a dreamer. I was someone who dreamed about my future. I would daydream a lot. And it's probably that kid in class who would kept being told, pay attention, because I would daydream a lot. And I honestly believed that I had like a plan for my life, as we all kind of like to do. I had a plan, and especially watching Mum and Dad and their life, like they were incredible parents growing up. They had a really cool story of how they got together. But, you know, I looked at my parents and I was like, I want to live like that. Like, I want to do life like that. I want to grow up. I want to have a happy marriage and I want to have three awesome kids. Awesome kids, let me emphasize that. And I wanted, you know, I really felt the call of God really young. So I wanted to go into ministry. I even decided that I wanted to marry a pastor. And I wanted to, you know, do the whole journey like they had done. And I dreamed about, you know, all the little details and the wedding and the babies and the big house and all that kind of stuff. And then that none of that really happened. Like, I looked at Mum. She got married when she was 18. That's insane. Especially these days. Who gets married at 18? Nobody does that. So, I legitimately thought growing up that, you know what, I've got to get ready. As soon as I turn 18, I've got to get ready. I promise you. So, like, I wasn't that girl who went out with lots of boys in high school. Like, I actually never went out with anybody in high school because I was like, nah, I'm going to save myself when I turn 18. When I turned 18, I was like, I got ready, I started to lose weight, I got fit, like, I just wanted to look beautiful. And then I was like, I'm not even joking. And then Mum's like, she watched me. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to get married, I'm going to meet this guy, it's going to be beautiful, we're going to have such a cool love story, I'm going to share the love story of the world, and then I'm going to have children, because my mum had me at 23, so I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to have kids when I'm in my early 20s as well. I'm going to be like that young, fit mum who has kids, you know, in the early 20s, and it's just like, looks super cool, and goes, you know, in her 30s, she's got teenagers, and, you know, she's like that young, cool, awesome mum. And then I'm going to get married to someone who's a pastor, and we're going to plant a church together, and we're going to take over the world together. And, you know, God's going to do awesome things. And, you know, I used to dream a lot about this plan that God was going to have for my life. And do you know what? None of that has happened. And I'm going to tell you right now that I'm 33 years old, and my life has gone in no direction that I ever, ever thought it would. So I went to school, I went to high school, as you do, and I got to 18 in year 12, and they were all like, what are you going to study? And I was like, well, I kind of want to be in ministry, and I'm going to marry a pastor, but what do I study to be a pastor's wife? I don't know. And it was a very confusing time for me, because I felt the call of God, but I didn't know what direction that would go in. And so I just started a uni degree in psychology and in business marketing, because I was like, well, they relate to people. I'm sure I'll learn some skills. And then I studied that for a while, and I started actually getting really depressed, because I actually felt like I was going down this path and it didn't make sense to me. And I just really felt this call of God, and God started to speak to me. But I got this opportunity to start learning at Bible College. I started at this youth ministry course, and my cousin actually convinced me to do this youth ministry course. And I was like, well, I'm not in youth ministry, like, this is a bit weird, but I just started it. And then a few months later, Mum and Dad are like, so Hannah, we've got this youth ministry at Casey Life, and we kind of just want you to lead it for a while. Here's your team. Mum gave me my first message to preach at youth. And we want you to lead it for a while. And I was like, youth ministry, like, that was never really my plan, but okay. And then I'll tell you, 5 years later, I was still running that youth ministry and felt so called to the purpose of ministering to our young people, to our teenagers, to seeing them grow up. And God used my life to be able to mentor young people and just help build this youth ministry, where we got to see these awesome teenagers come every week and just experience the power of God in their life. And that was not in my plan. I just did that. And then, while I was doing that, I just decided to end up, I started at Bible College, and I was going to do 1 year of Bible College and I was going to go back to uni. But let me tell you, 5 years later, I had a degree at Bible College. I never went back to uni. But you know what? It wasn't the plan of myself. It was never what I envisioned for myself. But you know what? I believe that God needed me to be at Bible College. And so, do you know, hindsight is a beautiful thing. Because when you're in all of this stuff and when you're making big decisions for your life, you don't actually have hindsight and you don't have the big picture in mind. And through all of this, and I'll tell you more of my story in a sec, but through all of this, I think what I had to be grounded in is when I was so confused about every single decision, that God had a big picture and that he could see my life from the moment I was born to the moment I go to be with Jesus. And he knew where I needed to be in every point in my journey. He had a big picture. He knew the people that I needed to minister to. He knows the person that I'm going to marry. He knows the kids that I'm going to raise. He knows the, you know, every single decision and every opportunity and all of that. And you have to trust that God sees that big picture, because When you're confused, when you've got to make decisions, when life is not making sense to you, when your life looks nothing like it's you ever thought it would, you have to trust that, you know what? It's okay, because God knows. And if I can let go of control and give control to Him, He will ensure that I will be right where I need to be, where I need to be, when I need to be there, in order to fulfill the purpose God has for my entire life. And for you as well. God knows a big picture of every single part of your life, from where you started to where you ended, all the mess in the middle. He knows that too. He knows the things that you chose to do on your own. He knows the things that you obeyed and you said, all right, God, I'm going to do this even though it's hard. He knows all of it, the mess, the good stuff, the bad stuff. And he can be trusted. God can be trusted. And so I went to Bible college. I did youth ministry for about 5 years here at Casey Life at Aspire Church. And then after that, and through all of that as well, I remember Charmaine shoving a microphone in my hand when I was about 18 years old. She's like, honey, you're going to be a worship leader. I'm like, no, I'm not. And I honestly fought Charmaine for about 6 months, maybe more, maybe a year, maybe three. But she was like, you're going to be a worship leader, Hannah. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I was terrified of microphone. I was terrified of singing out loud, whatever. And so I was like, no, I'm not going to be a worship leader. And then she forced me on the stage and put a microphone in my hand one day. And I, out of rebellion, I held it. You can give me a microphone, but I'm not singing in that microphone. But then, you know, she took me on this journey as well. And then God really started to speak to my heart about being a worship leader and anointing my life to worship lead. And that was a whole nother journey in my life where I got to lead worship in lots of different spaces as well. I ended up taking over the worship team at Bible College and leading at Youth Alive events and doing all of this big stuff that I was like, whoa, God, like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Where, like, how did you get me here? And then, you know, I went from there. I finished Bible college, and then I got to the end of Bible college, and I'm like, all right, God, what now? And God really started to do some big shifts in my life. He said, Hannah, I'm taking you into a new season. You're going to go to a new place, and what I need you to do is I need you to say goodbye to everything that you're currently doing, end your commitments, and then I will make it clear what your next step is. And I was like, God, how can I just say goodbye to everything, leave my job? I remember having a big farewell at Casey Life Church back in the day and being like, God, this doesn't make sense. And everyone's like, what are you doing next? And I'm like, God hasn't told me. I'm really sorry, but He hasn't told me. Like, honestly, it was such a hard decision. And then this massive opportunity opened up in Sydney to become a youth pastor, one of the youth pastors there, of hundreds of teenagers. And then from there, I ended up leading the worship team for a season. And then from there, they were like, Hannah, can you take on the kids ministry and run the kids department? And then after there, the state of New South Wales, ACC, asked me, Hannah, can you take over the leadership of ACC Kids for all of New South Wales and look after all the kids pastors for the state? And then all these things happened. And then in the recent times, my senior pastor Brad's like, Hannah, can you join our eldership team and be a significant part of leading our church? And, you know, moving it forward. And now I'm having these interesting meetings in my pastor's office where we're planning out all of 2020 together because he values my opinion. And I'm like, when did this happen? How did I get here? But you know what? God has a big picture. And I'm 33 and my life looks nothing like I thought. I never imagined I would be a kids pastor. That was never a desire in my heart. But you know what? God knows where I needed to be, when I needed to be there. And there's a few things that I really held on to. I was thinking about this yesterday. But, you know, the Bible says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And in order to be able to do the journey and do it well, and to be able to trust God, you actually have to believe that thought that His ways are higher than our thoughts, that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And even though it's messy and it doesn't make sense to us and life turns out completely left field and nothing like you thought, He always has a big picture in mind, and we have to trust. And there's five really quick things. I won't get through them all, but five things that we have to trust. We have to trust God, that God has a big picture in every decision. And in every decision, we have to say, God, what's the big picture? All right, I have a decision right now. When I was deciding to go to Bible college and making big decisions about my whole future, I was like, what am I supposed to do here? I could mess up my entire life. If I make the wrong decision and study the wrong thing, I'm going to lead myself down a whole different path. Like, my life could be ruined. Like, there's big pressure on a young person, especially a school leader or someone who's at uni age, to make big decisions. But you know what? You've got to trust that God knows the big picture. And that there's a verse that says, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And trusting that God has the big picture, but that as I lean into him and as I trust him and as I believe him, that he's going to lead me and guide me, that he will direct my path and that he knows every detail of my life and that he will open the right door at the right time and he'll close the wrong doors when they're wrong. And we can believe and we can trust God in every decision. These things all start with D, by the way. I was getting a bit creative, but D worked. So in every decision is the first thing. In every disappointment, you know what? Really, like, genuinely, honestly, there were so many moments all through my 20s when my friends were getting married and having babies. And, like, my majority of my friends right now, second baby, third baby, babies at school, at primary school. Like, that's crazy. That's my friends, my age. And there's been many, many times where I looked at that and I was like, God, why? Why am I 33? And why does my life look like this? That's disappointing. Disappointment. You know what? We all face disappointment. When things don't happen how we want to, when family members disconnect from us, when we lose jobs, when we get sicknesses, when things go bad, there's so much disappointment. And we can ask God, why is this happening to me? But you know what? We can trust that it will all work out how God planned it to. Because in Romans 8:28, it says that God uses everything, everything for our good, everything for his glory, and even the bad stuff, he turns it around and he uses it for good. And I can tell you, hand on my heart, I 100% believe that one day everything will make sense. I believe I will be standing there on my wedding day, I will be having my first children, and I'll be like, God, it never made sense to me why you made me wait this long. Now I understand the big picture. Now I understand the purpose. And now I see these little joys and miracles that you provided for me. And it all makes sense and it was all worth it. And you know what? In every disappointment, we can trust that one day it all makes sense. His ways are higher than our ways. So in every decision, every disappointment, in every detour. So when they asked me to be the kids pastor, I genuinely felt my future was in worship leading. It was in building the church from here, right? In this room, not out there. So when they were like, Hannah, can you take over the kids ministry and run the kids programs? I was like, you know, I actually really love kids and I had such a good upbringing in kids ministry. And I believe in kids and the call of God on their life. And I believe that God wants to speak the word of God into their heart from a very young age. And I believe that they can encounter the Holy Spirit really young. And all of this stuff is burning in my heart. And I'm like, yes, I love kids. But at the same time, I'm like, if I go out there, I don't do things lightly. I don't take something on for 6 months. Like, I might be out there for a long time, for years. And that's taken me away from here. I had to leave the worship team. I was a worship leader. I played keys. I played guitar. I was there every single Sunday on the stage. I was a part of everything going on in here. And I was like, I had to leave the creative team. I've been in a creative team since I was 11 years old. Mum and dad, another thing that they did to me. They put me on keys when I was 11 years old because they were like, we don't have a keyboard player, Hannah, and you can play. So, you know, I love my parents and I would not be where I am today if they didn't throw me in the deep end, just saying. So I had to say, all right, God, you know what? That is not, being out in kids is not what I ever imagined for my life. But if that's what you're calling me to, and this is the detour, I'm going to trust the big picture. 7 years later, I still love kids ministry, and I get to be a part of what's going on in here and what's going on in there. But I've seen hundreds of kids grow up from being a toddler in our kids program all the way through their primary years and now graduating to youth. And I've got to be a part of that. And then God used that to help influence kids pastors right across our state. And, you know, God has a big picture, and every detour you can trust God. So that's the third thing. Every detour, His ways are harder than ours. Number four, in every difficulty, you know, so many stressful situations, I've experienced it. Finances where I could not pay my bills. But you know what? God is a provider. God takes care of every need. He takes care of every detail. We need to know that God is able, and that whatever He calls you to do, wherever He leads you, that He will provide, that He will take care of the details, that, you know what, anything, any position He puts you in, you need God. Mary needed God. There was no way she was going to have a baby inside of her that was going to grow up to be the Savior of the universe by herself, right? That was a God thing. God needed to do that. And you know what? God's going to put us in so many positions in our life where we need Him. And so you got to count every difficulty as a blessing, because it's an opportunity for God to do a miracle, for God to do something that you could never do on your own. God works through every single difficulty. And He will always do it. He will always be faithful. He's always going to be faithful. And then, Ephesians 3:20, by the way, is a really good verse to hold on to. God is able to do infinitely more than you could ever ask or imagine. Way more than you can ask or imagine. So hold on to that. And then the last thing is every discomfort. You know, God stretches us. He grows us. So many times I got thrown in the deep end, as I've explained. And so many times I don't know how to be a kids pastor. I didn't know what I was doing. I've never even been in the kids ministry rooms before. I don't know how to lead a state of kids pastors and leaders. But you know what? God will lead you. He will stretch you. And He will grow you, because He believes that you can be bigger, and that you can do more, and that when you are partnered with Him, that He will be able to do things through you that you never could before. But it's going to be uncomfortable. And God works through every discomfort. And He uses everything to shape you and prepare you for the big picture. He knows what your next step is going to be. He knows what the big picture is going to be. And so you've got to trust Him when things are uncomfortable. And so as we trust, you know, just really quick, we have to hold on to the Word of God, hold Him to His promises, find out what the Bible says, you know, because it's hard to trust sometimes. It's really hard to trust when things are uncomfortable or they're challenging or whatever. It's hard to trust God, but hold on to His promises. Know the Word of God. Know that it says that God is able to do infinitely more than I could ask or imagine. Know that He says in Romans 8:28 that He's going to use all things for His glory, for His good. Know these things so that when things get hard, you can quote them back to God and say, God, You said this. You said You would provide. You said You would meet every one of my needs. Hold God to His Word. And then train yourself to trust Him. Make trust your default. So that, you know, when something gets hard, instead of being like, oh my gosh, what do I need to do? Where do I find the money? No, straight away, God, this is so hard. I don't actually feel this right now, but I trust You. And just come to God straight away. Straight away. Before your mind goes crazy, straight away to God. God, You said. You said You provide. Oh my gosh, I've got a car to pay for because it just broke, and now I've got to find $1,000. What do I do? Instead of stressing out like a crazy person, no, God, You're my provider. You can do it. It's going to be okay. God's our provider. Straight to God. And, you know, trust is a lifestyle. It's not a moment at an altar call. It's not a moment where you say, God, I trust You and everything will be okay. It is an every single day thing. It's a lifestyle. Trust is a lifestyle. And trust God no matter what happens, and let go of control. So we like to be in control of everything and make sure that everything is lined up so perfectly. But I can tell you, if you want to live the big picture that God has for your life, there is no way you can be in control, because you have no idea. We have no idea what God's going to do next. So we have to let go of control. We actually can't be in control. And I will tell you, when you can learn to let go, you get this feeling of, oh my gosh, I've got to be in control. Everything's going to be right. Oh no, that's wrong. That's not how it's supposed to be. Stress, stress, stress all the time. But when you can let go, you're like, all right, it's okay. God's got this.
He's going to make sure I'm where I need to be. He's going to provide. He's got this. I don't need to freak out and make sure I go and meet lots of guys and get around and be like, go on all these dating websites and get out. You know, I believe that God's going to be like, here you go, Hannah. I 100% believe that. You know, God, when you let go of control, life is so much more fun. Life is so much more peaceful. You know, just let go of control. We can say, God, I trust that you're faithful. Trust you're faithful. How about, just as we close, and then we got Christmas lunches to get to. As we close, how about we all just close our eyes for a moment, just because, you know, privacy helps you just to connect with God. Some of you in this room, you identify with a few of these things that I've been saying. You might be going through some really uncomfortable stuff right now, and you're like, God, I don't see the big picture right now, but I need to see it. Or you may be feeling really difficult situations, or a detour, or really heavy disappointment. Or you're making big decisions, and you're like, God, I just need you to remind me of the big picture. Just right now, just have a moment with God. Just say, God, I need you to remind me of the big picture. God, I just pray for every person in this room. I pray, God, for everyone who's got difficulty, whoever's really feeling just discomfort in their life, that they've got heavy situations going on. God, people who have lost family members, people who are sick and going through health challenges, God, people who are waiting for that person that they're going to marry, God, just every person in this room who's dealing with stuff, who've got big decisions, God, you know exactly what their situation is, God, and you know exactly what step they need to take next and what where you're going to lead them, God, and you're going to resolve it, and you're going to bring miracles, and you are going to make it so super clear one day why all of this has happened. But I just pray right now that you would minister to every heart in this room, that you would minister to disappointment, that you would bring healing to hearts, God, that you would just bring peace and love and joy to every broken heart right now. I just pray peace, God, over everyone who's feeling stressed today, God. I just pray peace. Just pray your peace, God. I just pray your assurance that you've got them, God. Your assurance that you are in control and that you will be faithful and you will come through at the right time, God. I just pray that you minister to every single person in this room exactly what they need in their unique and individual scenarios, God. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, you might be in this room today and you've never actually made a decision to allow Jesus to be in control of your life. Or maybe you walked away from God for a really long time and you're like, you know, I need to put God in charge again because I can't do this journey on my own. If that's you today, I want to just pray for you. So if you can just show me a hand, just say, I'm making that decision. Just put your hand up now. You want to say, Jesus, I want to put you in charge today. Whether it's for the first time or the first time in a long time, you want to say, God, I want to make you the center of my world. Yeah, I can see your hand up the back. That's awesome. It's the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. Yeah, there's another one at the front. You want to say, God, I want to put you in charge. I need you, Jesus. I need you to make you the biggest part of my world. Anyone else in the room? So good. God, I thank you for these people. Thank you that you love them. And I just pray that as they begin this journey with you, or as they continue, start to walk this journey with you, God, I pray that you would lead them, that you would guide them, that they would know your love, they would know your power, God, and that their lives would never be the same again. We thank you for what you're doing in every single person, God, and we just give them to you. God, we give our lives to you afresh today. And we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your joy. We thank you that with our lives in your control, God, that you have got amazing things ahead for every single person. In Jesus' name, amen.